Hey guys, welcome to Kime, the rest is history. Before moving on to today's episode, I would suggest everybody to listen to the disclaimer. So guys, on today's episode it is about the Pynchon Street Torosso, found 10th September 1889. Murder of an unknown woman. On Wednesday 11th September 1889, under a sensationalist headline that ended "Mystery of Mysteries," the New York Herald told its readers that London in general and Whitechapel in particular were thrown into feverish state of excitement yesterday morning by the news that Jack the Ripper had murdered and mutilated his ninth victim. Both the murder and the mutilation were reported to be, and indeed proved to be, more horrible than in any one of the eight cases preceding. On the same day, Metropolitan Police Commissioner James Monroe forwarded a seven-page report to the Home Office regarding the finding of the trunk of a female minus head and legs in one of the railway arch in Pynchon Street. Monroe then went on to explain, "This street is close to Brunner Street, which was the scene of one of the previous Whitechapel murders. It is not a very narrow street, but it is lonely at night and is patrolled every half an hour by a constable on beat. The arch where the body was found about on the pavement, the constable discovered the body somewhat after 20 minutes past 5 on the morning of Tuesday. He is positive that when he passed the spot about 5, the body was not there. It may therefore be assumed that the body was placed where it was found, sometime between 5 and 5:30 a.m. Although the body was placed in the arch on Tuesday morning, the murderer, and although there is not yet before me proof of cause of death, I assume that there has been a murder, was not committed there nor then. There was almost no blood in the arch, and the state of the body itself showed that death took place about 36 hours or more previously. This then enables me to say that the woman was made away with probably on Sunday night, the September 8th. This was the date on which one of the previous Whitechapel murderers, that is Annie Chapman, was committed. Had the white murderer changed his modus operandi? Inevitably, since the remains were found close to a previous murder site and the killing itself had possibly taken place on the anniversary of a previous Jack the Ripper atrocity, the police had little choice but to consider the dreadful possibility that the Ripper had returned. Within hours of remains being discovered, Chief Inspector Donald was at pains to point out that the killer modus operandi bore a little resemblance to that of the modus operandi of Jack the Ripper. "What becomes most apparent," he stated in a report dated 10th September 1888,
"is the absence of attack upon the genitals as in the series of Whitechapel murders beginning at Bucks Row and ending in Miller's Court. Certainly, if it be a murderer, there was time enough for the murderer to cut off the head and limbs. There was time to mutilate it as it is in the series mentioned."
Despite its lurid headline suggesting that the Ripper had returned, the Herald article, under a section headlined A different method of mutilation, went on to opine, a perusal of the circumstances of former erythrocytes of this nature only serves to confuse the reader's mind as to the possible origin of the state crime. It differs from Whitechapel series in facts that the head and lower limbs were amputated, and in the other fact that the hands were left undisturbed. But it resembles them in the inflection of deep longitudinal cut along the lower half of the trunk. What Chief Commissioner Monroe thought. James Monroe, in his report of the 11th September 1889, entered into a detailed comparison of this murder with the previous Whitechapel atrocities and observed that
if this is a fresh outrage by the Whitechapel murderer, known by the horrible familiar nickname of Jack the Ripper, this murder committed in the murderer's house would be new departure, but the system persuaded by this ruffian. I honorably or however inclined to believe that this case was not the work of the Ripper.
Monroe then went on to state that in the previous cases death had been caused by cutting throat, whereas in the case of Pigeon Street victim, there was nothing to show that the death was caused by the throat having been cut. Whereas in previous cases, the bodies had been mutilated, in this latest case, there was no mutilation other than dismemberment. Previous victim has suffered evisceration, but the Pigeon Street victim most certainly hadn't. In several of previous cases, there had been removal of certain parts of the body, whereas with the Pigeon Street victim, there is no removal of any portion of organs of generation or intestines. Concerning the location, the previous murderers, Monroe pointed out that they had all committed in the street, except one in instance of Turner Street, that is in reference to merely scaly murder. When there were distant traces of furious mania, the murderer, having plenty of time at his disposal, slashed and cut the body in all directions, evidently under the influence of frenzy. Coinciding that, in the respect of indoor murderer of Mary Kelly, the killing of Pigeon Street victim had also been committed indoors, probably in lodging of the murderer. Monroe went on to the streets that in the later case, there is no sign of recent mutilation of the body, but of the deliberate and skillful dismemberment with a view to removal. In conclusion, Monroe stated that I'm inclined to be that taking one thing with another, this is not the work of the Whitechapel murderer. Today, experts on the cases are inclined to agree with Monroe's assessment that the Pigeon Street murderer was not carried out by the Jack the Ripper murderer, but that it may well have been linked to another series of crimes that include in the Whitehall mystery of 1888. But now there arises a question. Who was she? As to identify of the victim herself, we are as much in dark as we are to identify of the perpetrator of the crime. At the subsequent inquest into the woman's death, the coroner Wine Baxter pointed out that there was no evidence as to the identity of the deceased, but that the statements of the medical gentleman in the case showed clearly that the woman had died a violent death. He also observed that it was matter of congratulation that the present case did not appear to have any necessary connection with the previous murderers in the immediate neighborhood. On 5th October 1889, The remains were laid in rest in the East London Cemetery, Grange Park, Ballestow, Essex. The metal plate that adorned the case in which they were inherited carried the simple inscription, "This case contains the body of a woman unknown, found in Pigeon Street, St. George in the East, 10th September 89. So guys, until then, until the next episode, this is Crime, the Rest is History, and this is your host, Lavanya Zeus. Adios!